This might get weird.
Are we rolling?
We're rolling.
Well, then cheers, Grace Helbig.
Cheers, Memory Heart.
You guys, this might get real, but this also might get really annoying because the second we started recording, leaf blowers started going off 6 feet away from me.
Yeah, I can't hear them. So hopefully it's not an issue.
I just didn't know if I can't hear it because I'm still stuffy.
Yeah, that's true. That's
I'm
true,
still
too.
Over here in Cozy Kleenex Corner.
Nice. Yeah, I want you to get better.
No shit. I mean, what's the deal? You had cancer forever, and I feel like I've been more of like a, I can't do this, in like a week
of
a cold.
Like, I'm hypersensitive to people's health now, so I'm just like, what's going on? Do I need to take you to a doctor? Where can I take you? What can we find out? How can we figure this out?
Listen, I'm very, and always have been, incredibly, like, this is where my Appalachia shows. Like, I never go to doctors, except when I do, I use ZocDoc, but that's more specifically, like, let's get that pap smear going. Let's get that dentistry. You know what I mean? Where I'm like, I don't want my vagina, teeth, or eyeballs to fall out. Other than that, you know. So if I promise Chip that if like I don't feel better, I'm going to go to the doctor tomorrow.
Okay. Well, if you need someone to go with you, I'm happy to go.
You are so nice.
We got to advocate for ourselves out there, people.
Look at you. Oh, my word.
All well, good.
Anyway, a big week in television, I will say.
Wowie wow. Big week in TV. Lots going on.
I feel like this was a particularly good one, especially after last week when no one went home on Drag Race and no one went home on Survivor. And I was like, what's the point of calling it a competition show?
Yeah.
It's just participatory.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. This was quite a week. Should we just start with Drag Race since it's
we
the
should
furthest
I
one?
Feel like that's our go-to.
Yeah, because I also have to refresh myself by this point on what is happening. So okay, they did their PowerPoint presentations. I can't remember if we've seen this challenge before in the past.
I don't think we have. I feel like normally when they are in front of an audience, it's either a roast,
yeah,
a talent show, or they make them do some kind of like stand-up routine. But I feel like giving them the opportunity to use a visual is like a crutch. It's like I'd be like, oh, thank God. Like, I feel like in no filter shows and stuff, I'd do so many things that were slideshows because you know that like if you trip up or something, you have a visual aid.
Yeah, and you have your outline basically there to follow without having, and they get note cards. That said, this is not an easy thing to do. Like if you're basically doing stand up, but in a very particular format while also having to have visual cues. Visual cue is a fun thing for cue to use at some point.
Look here, I'll tell you right now, my first note is not cue coming in saying hello, hello, hello.
That had to be a reference. Well, okay. So my first note was, I am so jealous of this slides joke. However, there's stuff going on the internet that Katya actually did this clip. I think it was clips instead of the slides.
Yes.
Bit in a live show or some talk that she did. Was it an actual TED talk or...
No, I feel like it was probably a bit within Trixie and Katya's show where then they each take a solo part. But yeah, I saw that and I was like, that's good for you guys. Yeah. Doing an actual joke. Good for you. Yeah. And then I saw a lot of people defend it when they said Katya did it first. They were like, this joke is as old as time. Like, and I understand it's a pun, you know, like people use it all the time. How many people have like made shirts that's like, let's taco about it.
Yes. Yeah.
With a taco.
Exactly.
I get it. However, specifically that Katya had done it and Plain Jane, I feel like, is kind of a Katya stan because of the whole Russian thing. It just felt a little bit plagiarism. It's giving plagiarism.
It's giving plagiarism.
Yep. There we go.
I thought, though, Plain and Q obviously did great. They did a great job together. Yeah.
Except I didn't understand the bit how, like, they were both getting worked up and they had to calm the other one. And then at the end, it seemed like they were going to go fuck each other. I was like, you either have to commit to that or don't, because I was confused and it just felt awkward.
Yeah. I'll be honest. Now that I think of it, I don't know that I paid attention to I think this challenge, like the stand-up challenge, makes me so nervous.
Yeah.
That I did fast forward through a little of Maya trying to get through her presentation because I have such been there, been on stage and fucked up, know what that feels like, and it's hard to watch.
You have not Maya doing a PowerPoint presentation fucked up on stage in your life, Grace Helbig.
I tried to do a back walk over and fell on my head.
I get it, but that is a physical failure, not an absolutely cannot form a word and get it out your mouth. No, I mean, I don't think we expected Maya to do well in this challenge.
Right.
I will say, MVP, give her the flowers. Dawn getting through that.
Yeah.
Like, the level of skill it takes to keep it going and, like, try to get the audience to not be scared out of their minds. Like, I mean, I know that judges gave her some claps for that, but I'm truly just like, I've been on a sketch at UCB and the person could not remember their lines, and I was like, this person's drunk and still going. So not only do you have to remember your own shit, you have to figure out how to add things to make it not feel like it's falling apart. So I just want to commend Dawn on that.
Yeah, she did great. That's really, really difficult to do, especially when you can see the audience's faces looking back at you and you know that suddenly everyone's nervous and watching you even more with more scrutiny as it goes on. Okay, then we have our group of three, which was
Nymphia, Morphine, and Saphira.
Saphira, and they all did pretty good. You know, Saphira tripped up a little bit, but got it on track and was very, I mean, when she comes out, you can tell she's a pro at this.
So, you absolutely can. However, I don't understand the connect of starting with a limerick.
I loved that limerick, but I also was like, what the hell?
I didn't understand. I didn't think it was to theme. I think they did a good job. How do you feel about Nymphia doing the stereotype kind of would be perceived if said by a white person accent would be perceived racist?
Yeah, they asked her like what she thought of it. I just thought she didn't need to do it. I think she was doing it to try and like add a layer of comedy, and I just thought like her own presence would have been able to pull it off. But also, if that's her comedy choice, like, people make their own comedy choices. I think she said, like, I like all the different sounds of people's different accents. And so I wanted to bring that into this, which, you know, sometimes people put on a character that helps them, like, get through something that makes them very uncomfortable.
That's true. I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah, someone had compared it to Maya in the in Snatch Game. Like, she did okay because, like, but she made up a character who was, like, very Miami ghetto. You know what I mean? So it's just, like, that's an affected stereotype voice as well.
Yeah.
But I will say, I thought they did a pretty good job. I thought it was a little awkward. But here's what gets me about these challenges where there's a live audience. I know that at the end of the day, you're playing for the judges and callbacks are great. But this audience has never seen the episodes that have come out yet. You are brand new drag queens. So when you reference previous things like Nymphia referencing Jane Goodall or like things like that, it's like play for the audience that's in front of you.
Yeah.
And none of these people have seen this season.
Yeah, I will
say. It's in the edits.
Yeah, I agree to a degree.
Okay.
I also get that they're playing for the invisible audience, which is the people at home watching, which will know these references. I also am so curious how much actually gets edited out from the final episode. Like, the same with Snatch Game. How much did we not see that the editors kept in the best and worst parts of it so we can all follow, like, who's on top, who's on bottom?
I also wonder, because I know when they do like the Rusical and things, they do it several times. One, just because like we give more options in editing. Yeah. Two, just coverage. If you need to see every single person reacting to something, like they don't have 30 cameras, you know?
Right.
So I wonder if they do this PowerPoint a couple times too.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But I also, Morphine, like, glitching and being like drag queen what did she say? Like drag queen tanking or something like that.
Flopping.
Flopping. I was like, her trying to call it out is very funny in the moment to be like, I see what you see. I'm not oblivious.
Right.
I agree that there's like funnier ways to like get that back on track, but I really didn't think she did that bad. But I get they need another, like who else would have been on the bottom?
Yeah, that's true. Because here's what I'll say.
Yeah.
This was one of my favorite runways ever.
The 80s theme? Yeah, or a drag con in the 80s?
And what about Maya saying, I Google imaged it? That's yeah. So I think Maya thinks drag con has been around since the 80s.
Right, because someone said, I don't know how true, someone's like, not Maya using this AI image of a drag queen in the 80s as her inspo for drag con in the 80s.
I know. When she said, she's like, so I just Google imaged it. I'm like, what? It didn't exist in the 80s. This is so funny to me. But everyone else's, I think, killed it. I think Q's Keith Haring tribute with the AIDS ribbon was amazing.
And look, Q's ability to talk about her diagnosis is incredible and will help so many people. And you know, the biggest meme that came from this episode is Plain's reaction to it.
What'd she say? Yes, mama.
Mama, kudos for saying that, for spilling. And so that has swept over the internet all week. Mama, kudos for saying that, for spilling. That is everywhere.
Mama, kudos.
Kudos for saying that, for spilling.
I mean, it's like, she just said such a fucking huge, heavy, intense
The heaviest thing that a 20-something-year-old drag queen could tell anyone about, let alone you as they're getting ready for drag on a nationally aired television show. But
oh my God, I can't wait for something serious to happen and someone to tell me something crazy. And I'm just like, mama, kudos for saying that,
for spilling. So I get that Q was like, this is my week. Like I'm putting myself out there in so many ways. Like this is mine to lose. I will say Safira's runway. Amazing, as always. How does she pack this shit? And also, you could see the judges were like drooling over the big hair clips. I loved the big campy hair clips.
Yeah.
The dress itself was like amazing. Like her runways are fantastic.
No, her runway was incredible. She really does go for size, stature, and presence. But like I loved it because I knew 80s we were gonna go rocker. I personally really, really loved Nymphia's outfit because again, it was Keith Haring and Grace Jones. And like if you go back and look at the like the actual making of that dress, like it looks so good. Like Nymphia absolutely killed it. But I will say the campy kind of Troop Beverly Hills Rodeo Drive in the 80s of Safira's was just chef's kiss.
Oh, because that's like what a drag queen would look like in the 80s going to drag con. It was just so fun. So then we get, obviously, Q is very upset that they did not win this week, which, look, I mean, I don't know. It was tough to call. Safira is just such a presence on stage, like has so much natural presence that even by like flubbing and getting it back to center, is she more exciting to watch? Probably.
And also, but why did Q think she would have gotten it more than Plain?
Right, that's the other thing too. I saw people being like, well, Plain could have won too.
Yeah,
but I guess it's because like Q thought, I don't know, I was spilling my guts this week.
Spilling mama.
Kudos. Didn't get all the kudos though. So she's upset, and I saw a clip that came out of preview for next week.
Yeah.
She is pressed and cannot let it go. Yeah. And Safira, like, at some point you have to be like, none of this is in our control. Safira didn't ask to win over you.
Right.
Like, so there's no use in being upset at her.
You didn't get kicked off when you did the wild Joan Jett Michael Jackson ghoul dance the week before.
Yeah.
Q, okay, we're doing good. We're doing good. No, but I did think that she looked beautiful and I thought the outfit was great. But again, I think she was going into it like you said, like leading with the heart of this is a very special thing to me because it's very personal and it's about my diagnosis.
Yeah.
As opposed to, well, if we were just visuals alone, I prefer Nymphia's Keith Haring look.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I think you're right. It was leading with the heart and not thinking it through of like if it was an actually deserved win. But I will say this. Maya is gone.
That lip sync, they were battling. Those Miami girls were fighting on stage.
What did you think about her throwing her cape on her?
Her throwing the cape and then Morphine taking it, like whipping it around and throwing it off. Best case scenario.
Yes.
Because I was like, ooh, that's nasty to do. That's like,
I didn't know if it was an accident.
Right. That's what I was like. If this isn't an accident, that's very like dangerous because what if she like fell backwards and hurt herself or something?
Totally. I did love the split that took forever to drop.
Forever.
I think Morphine killed it. She knew that Maya was going to do a million gazillion tricks and to be like, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hold the judge's attention.
Yeah. Unless we not forget a titty got thrown. Like, I forget who threw the titty. Someone threw a titty at someone. And I was like, this is a cat fight right now.
It was crazy.
While lip syncing. And that split was unreal.
I loved it. It was so satisfying. Let me ask you this. Because once Maya went backstage and packed up and did the whole thing, I don't think I've seen every Untucked. I keep meaning to see them all. I see most of them, but not all of them. Did Maya talk about her anxiety before? Because she started saying, oh, I had a lot of anxiety, like, I think in Untucked and whatnot. And it made me pause and be like, oh, I feel bad. I haven't heard her talk about having actual anxiety.
Yeah, maybe she's mentioned it a couple times, but it hasn't been like we're building this into a full storyline where we hear like her. Yeah, I mean, I feel bad in general that she's more quiet and everyone in the world keeps telling her to speak up, but also that she like does a pretty good job, all things considered. But
but not her and someone else going at it and plain being like, we're gonna need microphones.
Yeah,
this is the quietest fight of all time.
I know, they're ASMR fighting.
Truly. But overall, great episode. What is it next week? Do we know what the challenge is?
Ooh, it might be a Lollapalooza. I don't know.
You know what one I don't like? Is that the one where it's all just the lip sync battles?
Yeah.
I'm a fucking asshole who the lip syncing is like my least favorite thing on the show.
Silky Nutmeg Ganache like dominated the idea of like Lollapalooza and did it in a way where she came to every lip sync with a gimmick or something that, you know, put her over the edge. So that part is fun for me to imagine, like how the girls elevate that. But yeah, it's not, people love it and it's not my favorite thing, but I get it. This is the most quintessential drag thing. Like, you'll never have to give a presentation as a drag performer the way that they just did.
But here's the deal. If I was going to a drag show and they'd be like, you want to come to this drag show? I'd be like, yeah, that'd be fun. They were like, do you want to come to this drag PowerPoint presentation show? I'd be like, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I would, in fact.
I absolutely did. So anyway, let's move on.
Yes. Oh, my God.
What?
Can we move on to The Bachelor?
Oh, OK. Yeah, let's do it. This was the women tell all, intertwined with like some clips of, because when we last left off, Kelsey had left a note that was like, we need to talk. And then the most cryptic
phrase you could ever possibly tell anyone, regardless of good news or bad news. If anyone's ever giving me news, that is the thing they're not allowed to say to me.
Well, this is, so we learned, Kelsey was just like, I just miss you and I wanted to tell you and whatnot. And Joey looked like he'd actually been hit by a car.
Yeah,
like
he actually fully spiraled and then like got upset with her for putting him in that sort of mental space.
I totally get it. Like if Chip texted me like, we need to talk, and then hours later was like, do you like this truck?
Exactly.
I'd be like, fuck you. Like, you can't do that. If you're going to leave that, it has to be an immediate. But here's what I think. Two things.
Yeah.
One, they clearly made Joey sit down and do an interview about what do you think it could be about before they let him see her.
Of course.
So like he was probably like, I just want to fucking talk to her. And you guys are like making me sit down and walk through my emotions of receiving this note. Second of all, I wonder how they edit it, because I think clearly the producers were like, just write this.
Right. Yeah. There's no world in which a girl on that show at that point in the game is going to leave what everyone would understand is the most cryptic note of all time, like, without guidance from a producer who knows this will be good television.
Like, right. The producer, and who knows what they're telling him? They could be like, hey, you're not allowed to leave sweet notes, because then everyone would do that. You can't leave like, hey, I miss you, can we sneak away? You know, you can't do that. So it has to be like a, if you say we need to talk, then we can let you leave it or whatnot. So there's that. But then also, I wonder if they take it out in the edit, because like, if that was happening and I was like, oh, I fucked up, oh, he's insecure about us, I would immediately be like, the producers made me leave a note like that.
Right.
Like, I didn't want, like, this is the only way I was going to get to
see
you. Like, I'm really sorry. Exactly. So I'm hoping she had the opportunity to kind of calm his nerves more, because it felt like he was upset. She was like, oh, sorry, and then had to leave.
Yeah, they edited it weird. It was all weird. I was like,
so
the producers are looking for some drama that isn't really here at this point.
Yeah.
Because turns out, even after this episode, I was looking at Twitter and everyone's like, this is the most likable
bachelor
we've ever experienced. Not a single woman in this audience, on the stage or on Twitter, is mad at this man, which never happened.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, for this to be your, like, foray into it, it's like, he's sensitive, he cares, he's lovely. I'm not saying he's the most exciting guy on earth,
right,
but there's truly, like, Grace, there's been bachelors that you hate.
Yeah, I watched Ari. I watched that season.
Oh, Ari. No, you know what I saw? I saw a commercial for American Idol coming up, and it's Juan Pablo's daughter is auditioning, and she's 15. He was a hated ex-bachelor.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Like truly. I mean, like, the amount of, like, after the final roses where they're like, I dumped her, I'm actually in love with the other one. You know, like, all of that. So this being across the board, the women are like, just thank you so much for showing me, like, what
I
deserve.
You've made me a better woman. And I am so happy that we'll always be in each other's lives in a healthy platonic way. Like,
and also, even Joey, when it was talking about, I forget who Kelsey, the other Kelsey.
Yeah.
When he was like, have you spoken to your dad?
Okay.
Like, I'm sorry.
This is what I wanted to know.
Okay.
Are these scripted? And how much media coaching is every person getting? Because this episode, I know they're edited, it was too perfectly back and forth between everyone, including him asking her that and her having the response she did about the update, that I'm like, oh, do they put this all in that we're okay? At one point, you're going to ask Kelsey, what's the update with her dad?
I think, like, so, because here's the deal, is I think they have the women back.
Yeah.
And they interview them. So I'm sure Kelsey was like, since the show, I've reconnected with my dad and this and that.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, great, that's so wonderful. So that they go back, they're like, Joey, be sure to ask Kelsey. You know, like,
right,
he's given the things to hit, because the fact is, he could have said, how's things with your dad? And she could have been like, he actually died 2 weeks ago.
That's what I mean.
And it would have derailed the whole show.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
They have to know who's asking someone a question and what someone's answer is generally going to be. Because I was like, there was hardly any real talking over each other other than the very beginning, which, my God, I have not watched a women's tell-all before. And as soon, I texted you.
You did.
Right away, that I was like, oh, my God, they're calling Leah out immediately. I wasn't prepared for this. I thought this was going to be teased to, like, the very end of the episode. And here we go. Holy shit. And they're all doing it. They're all doing it. And
absolutely,
the audience is doing it. Wow.
Here's the thing. Wow. Is it was Maria mania.
Yeah, it was.
She isn't the next bachelorette, I feel like people will revolt.
Yeah, she's the people's choice. Very, very clearly, though, I did see everyone being like, they're giving Lexi and Jen also potential bachelorette edits. So,
but okay, Lexi, very sweet. I get it, all of it, you know, and you and I chatted about it last time of like, would they give it to her? And you just can't have, for her to leave Joey because they're on different timelines and he's by far the nicest bachelor there's ever been. You can't have her in a house with 30 dudes who are all just trying to like grow their Instagram following and not expect her to be like, I'm just going to leave. This is not where I'm going to find my husband. And then who's the other one?
Jen.
Jen is sweet, but she's boring. Again, like Maria has some fire to her. We know about her. I did see, God, it killed me. I saw a TikTok that was so funny. That was like my favorite part about The Bachelor Tell All is when they're introducing the women. And the women have it in their head that the audience remembers them more than they do, to the point of them holding a prop. And it was like, it cuts to that one blonde girl that none of us know her name. And she's just holding the kielbasas. Because I was like, oh, I forgot they did that kielbasa fan thing. And she like threw up or like bit it or whatever it was. But for her to be like,
but it's like,
I brought the kielbasas, guys. Remember that? Remember that episode? It's like, none of us remember that episode.
I was going to be like, are you not sick of producers using you this way? You didn't come with that kielbasa. They gave it to you. And they were like, hold this up. It'll be so funny. And it was. But man, she is pigeonholed into that meat stick corner.
It killed me. Just her holding it up. Because I didn't remember the episode. And I was like, did she give him a sausage on the on night one at Bachelor Mansion?
She won.
I know. Because she got hit in the face.
All they did was pull her to the side and make out. And that was it. It was confusing and degrading all the way around.
It was ridiculous. I think that Maria is the next Bachelor. I also saw an interview or her say somewhere that she was like, because I thought she was going to be way more upset the way they kind of edited her going home and whatnot, because she said, I love you. And then in the post of it all, maybe this is deflection, or maybe this is trying to be like, hey, I'm actually over him, so make me the bachelorette. She was just like, you know what? Joey was like your best friend that you want to make out with.
But that's so real to me.
I know.
I was
that's
like,
what I'm saying.
You guys, I think we even said, we're like, they'd have a great time in a physical only relationship. I don't know if they're like, should be marrying each other.
Yeah.
But I do feel like she is the best pick for Bachelorette just because she is more of a wild card than the other women, which gives you the opportunity to cast some male wild cards.
That's
which
true.
Would be very interesting to watch interact
and
with
good,
each other.
And good for the spinoffs of Batch in Paradise, all that. I will say, though, another point that came up on the internet is that I guess Maria, while her style is not mine, she does wear a lot of like vintage designer. Like people are like, oh, this is a vintage blah, blah, blah. This is, oh, her rocking the 90s Gucci crop top. Like, I guess she's like very aware of it. I mean, I'm wearing a Gap cowl neck sweatshirt I've had for like 11 years. Like me and you both had these.
Yep.
Still have it. So I'm not here to talk about fashion, but I will say the actual Bachelorette, like, they have a stylist because they don't want to be like too over the top. And I guess a lot of the internet knew the stylist by name and was like, I can name 30 fashion crimes he's committed with our bachelorettes. Like, really, it'll be like, and now we're in a denim skirt with like a floppy, like, you know, very Chico's.
Yes. Yes.
And so how would they do that with Maria? Because would Maria be like, I'm not fucking wearing that.
Which would make great TV.
Yes!
If she wears whatever she wants to wear. I mean, we've already seen it. Everyone looks like they're out of like an L.L. Bean commercial. And then here comes Maria just like in a bright yellow crop top. And you're like, it adds to her lore. It adds to her fantasy. I will say a couple of the moments that stood out. Freaking love Lauren from Philly being like, I said shut the fuck up. We don't need to keep saying that Maria said it. I actually said it. I loved her. She was also there holding her cake and a prop from the beginning.
Like,
I was like,
cake.
At least she's got a good attitude.
Look, I think Maria played it absolutely correct. I mean, Sydney came in. You could tell Sydney was like, I got to make this right or else my vintage store is going to be burned down by townspeople.
Because this wasn't like them in a living room having a conversation. This was an audience full of women all going, ooh, like making noises in
I've
support.
Been in that audience. You know
I know.
Right?
That's what I was like. Maybe he's been there, right? Hasn't she before?
I did. I went with my friend Beth and we did the live finale that goes right into After the Final Rose. So you watch it goes like Jesse introduces the bits and you watch the finale in this room of women. And then as soon as it's over, they like come out.
Wild. Wild. Yeah.
So if you want to go.
I mean, I would be very interested. Yes.
I can't remember who gave me tickets, but I'm going to look it up.
I also loved Edwina coming in and being like, you guys just didn't like her. I was in the house. I saw what happened. And her being like, because if it was me, it would be different. So Maria did a really great job. And I was like, wow, Edwina.
Well, I'm excited for next week. I love that even through the course of all this, we haven't even mentioned Daisy because she's just so boring to me.
Someone did point out in the episode, okay. You know how the rose ceremony, they show us that Daisy gets called first. No. When you watch it, they rewind it. He's calling Kelsey second. You can see the tip of the rose still sitting on the table that she was actually called first and Daisy was called second. Mm. And the editing is trying to make us think otherwise. I will say, by the way, Rachel's fantastic. I think she's great. I hate that her family and her are getting the kind of comments that they're getting. I'm glad they called it out openly on this show. I don't know what that does. I have no idea how you fix that kind of shitty problem.
I don't know
how
you do either. I just think saying that people are aware because like Twitter has gotten savage.
Ruthless.
About their non-faves. And I feel like Bachelor Nation, if you will, they're going to be like, we have to do a PSA to be like, we like that we're trending, but we can't support you guys being just jerks.
Yeah. And it's not even people tweeting public. It's like private messages sent this person. That's like, gross. It's really gross and it's terrible. And I feel awful for her because she's a genuinely sweet person. I did think it was very big of Maria to be like, I denounce all of the internet hate that what's her face and the other girls are Leah and the other girls are getting Sydney.
Yes.
And
totally.
I was like, Maria
and Maria
stands.
Hugged her enemies like she truly did it correctly to where you go. OK, yes, you're handling. She could have come in and been like, well, good. You guys were all cunts and America got to see it. Instead, she was like, I want to make up. I don't want you to feel bad. So she's playing the politician in a very correct way. But also she's Canadian and they're naturally pretty nice. But I cannot wait for the finale.
I know. I'm very excited. Yeah, I was worried that Maria was going to have too big of a head. I was like, oh, man, is she going to get on my nerves by being like, I'm the star of this and I'm going to do and let me hug her really quickly in front of everyone. But I do think, you know, some of it's genuine. But yeah, next week it's live, right? It's a live finale.
I guess so. That is next week. Holy shit.
That freaks me out, but I'm very excited.
Yes. Okay. I mean, it won't be live. The proposal isn't live.
Yeah. And then they showed the teaser of what happens. And
so it'll be the same thing. Like that's already shot in the bag. It'll be a live studio audience watching it. And then after the final rose. So it'll be usually what happens is after they immediately sit down with the person who wasn't chosen.
Right. Like they did with Rachel. Yeah.
And then they bring out Joey and then it's like, now let's talk to the happy couple. But the way they're teasing it, who knows? Does Joey end up alone?
I know. And I'm like, because in my mind it's Kelsey, but what could happen here? Oh, also, by the way, it should be known that Mamrie has sent me Daisy's music videos that are out there.
Yeah, they're really great. They're fantastic. Here's my prediction.
Yeah.
My prediction is Daisy comes out and says she's not ready.
Yeah.
For marriage.
I get that vibe too.
She leaves and then Joey wasn't going to propose to her anyway, but has like a breakdown that's going to happen when Kelsey gets there too.
Yeah, I can totally see that.
I think them showing him really sad in a car.
Yeah.
Is him driving to the proposal.
Yeah. Because I was like, there's no way the proposal ends bad. This is something else that happens beforehand.
Yep. Anyway. But okay. Let's talk Vanderpump slightly because I feel like it got revved up a little bit. I watched Vanderpump Into the Valley. Did you?
No, I watched Vanderpump this morning and I just am not enjoying it. But also the valley looks fucking chaotic as shit.
Here's the thing. Okay.
And two of the couples are no longer couples on that show already.
That's insane. Well, yeah, Jax, you know, and Brittany. Yeah, they're separated.
And I don't know, maybe Kristen and her guy, I think. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, here's what I'll say. My notes for Vanderpump is that this is the most awkward pool party of all time.
Yeah, my God. Even Schwartz leaving saying this feels weird.
Yeah.
I was like, that must be fucking weird.
They cheers to, first of all, I think it's very weird that like Tom is still there. He's like, let's throw a party with a ton of booze, even though I'm not drinking, which like I get, but also like maybe don't make your whole social circle like wasted people that you barely know. Like you're doing shots of fake tequila.
Yeah.
And he said, cheers, bitches, to staying positive and testing negative. And I'm like, maybe that shouldn't be your cheers as someone who just got
like, this is what we're talking about, man.
Also, a personal assistant isn't a housekeeper.
God, justice for Anne. I know that she already doesn't work for him anymore, but man, what an awful situation to be in. And the guy doesn't drink, so he's not hungover and he can't clean. Like,
right. I know, he's on the treadmill walking uphill. Like, go Swiffer.
Yeah, it was watching them in their house together gives me anxiety.
Gives me a lot of anxiety. Like, I don't even like to be in the same neighborhood as someone I dislike, kind of.
Yeah,
and they're like in the same home forever. I will say we are seeing a lot more of Joe with Schwartz.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you seen all the stuff online that's like Joe is like the millennial that everyone like Gen X makes fun of, or Gen Z makes fun of?
No, I haven't seen that stuff.
It's basically being like everything that Gen Z hates about millennials is personified by Joe.
Which is like what?
That just she's like, well, I'm crazy. Well, glug, like,
yeah, just like a cartoon character. Which is I guess I it's like not my favorite thing, but I don't mind.
Well, I don't know if that's our millennial showing because I'm like, well, yeah, I get it. Because we got a comment the other day on our Instagram and I like, you know, when I go to see like, all right, does everything work? You know, like, did we say anything offensive? Oh. Let me go make a check real quick.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God. Let me find this.
On our YouTube.
It was something about being cringe. But it said, oh, I can't even find it.
Yes, we are cringe.
We are quite cringe, but the comment was so funny because it said something about, like, you doing something cringy. And it was like, I mean, the old one stays cringe. For me. And I was like, that is so funny.
Also, I'm cringe, but I'm free. Like, I don't know how to be Gen Z. I don't, because I'm not.
Because we're not.
You know, I don't want to keep fighting with you guys about it.
But here's what I'll say. Okay, end of Vanderpump. Jax Taylor walks through Tom,
yes.
Which you could see people at the bar were like, oh, it's Jax. You know what I mean? Like, they were like, oh my God, we're here. Oh my God, the Toms are here. Oh my God, Jax Taylor's walking in. Like,
you
that
know,
was...
if you and I were there, we would have been like two mimes in the corner fainting and...
I would have chloroformed a waiter, put on his outfit, and been taking their order.
Just behind like, the potted plants.
The huge fake flower arrangements. But so anyway, it went straight in there to the valley. And we're not covering the valley, so we don't have to. But here's why I'm kind of liking it.
Okay.
Because it is early Vanderpump shit show vibes.
That's what it feels like. I saw the trailer for it and I was like, oh, even Kristen at the end of the trailer being like, I don't want to be like doing this again. I would rather be on Vanderpump Rules. And it's like, there's still that level of bitterness that like they're not on the main show.
Totally. And it's also like, we just watched Vanderpump Rules and it's people who have gone through like intense stuff and they're talking about Dancing with the Stars and this, and it's like everyone.
Does everyone want Dancing with the Stars?
I don't know. I sure don't.
What?
But everyone's like talking adult, and then like the way the first episode of The Valley ends is Jax pants a guy while they're taking photos, and the guy had on a swim trunk, so his penis came out, and the wife started crying and was like, why would he do that? Why would he do that? And she's like crying over her twin Jesus. Babies because her husband's ding-a-ling came out when Jax Taylor pantsed him.
Wow.
It's perfect.
Wow.
Anyway.
Insane. Yeah. Well, this episode is dumb. I mean, him being like, I stopped drinking and I started journaling so I could feel closer to what she was doing. I'm like, why didn't you go to a mental health facility? Just 100% do it.
Oh, talking about Rachel. I know. Yeah. I really didn't expect this season for it to be painted like Rachel is rejecting Tom Sandoval.
I feel like they really expected that she was going to come back and film. And she didn't. And so now they're trying to, like, I don't know, give him, he needs to try and figure out another storyline.
True. Well, speaking of deceit and whatnot, now let's move into our final show of the week, Survivor.
Man, oh man, what an episode.
I have like no notes taken. I just had a text thread between Chip and I that I was like, I can just reference this.
Yeah, there you go. Banu's gone. And, you know, sweet man, but I'm good with that.
I am so good with that. Grace, I cannot even tell you, like, I would never hang out with someone that emotional. And yeah. I was drained watching it. I was emotionally drained watching it.
I kept wishing, I held out to the very end where he's like, I haven't told my story yet, that it was going to be some Nathan Fielder hired actor prank that he was going to come out, or he was going to be like, this is my real personality. I've been playing a character on the aisle. I would have been like, yes, this is a fun way to do it differently.
Right.
But because I was like, this is like performative and a bit much. And man, they gave the whole episode to him. It was the Banu episode. Like, they really must have had zero other things going on.
Well, that's why I'm excited that he's gone, because he dominated the screen.
Yeah.
Because the tribe was terrible. I mean, they got the prize. They got the
tarp.
Well, tarp. Well, it was fish. And then they were like, we don't need that. We need the tarp and the other stuff. But I truly was like, I'm just tired of you taking over. So now we have the opportunity to meet other players.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, like Hunter. I'm obsessed with him.
Like, if you're going to be neurotic about something, this is the most impressive neurotic fixation I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I kept slapping Elliot, being like, first try, he got it first try. Like, it is so good, and he's not saying a word about it.
No, he's just confidently doing it. I mean, Chip loves him because Chip is a big fan. Anytime they have something with aim, he's like, granny style. Right. Do it granny style.
I mean, Hunter's probably amazing at disc golf too.
Yeah,
who knows.
I know, he really killed it. And I'm just kind of like, okay, him and Q know what they're doing. And now that Banu is gone and Q doesn't have to worry about like that game element of it, let's fucking go. Here's what I will say, and I don't know her name, but she has one of the redheads, one of the people who were like sitting out where we were like, they were twins the
Liz
other day.
Or Mo,
I think it's Mo.
Okay.
Can you imagine
not being able to jump?
Not being able to jump.
That's it's Mariah.
And also coming on to Survivor allergic to coconuts.
Oh, that's the other one.
That's the other one.
That's Liz. But yeah, Liz came on in the first episode. She was naming all the stuff that she was allergic to. And I was like, this woman's going to be medically evacuated.
Yeah.
And then when they won fish, I was like, she's got to be allergic to fish. And she was like, I can eat fish. And I was like, what?
No, I just can't even imagine. Like, every time you watch Survivor, they're just gnawing on coconuts the whole time. And to be allergic and to come do that.
I mean, she's keeping from what it seems a good mood about it.
But I mean, still, even if I were like, allergy is one thing. I'm vegetarian forever. But if I went there, I'd be like, I'm eating meat. I'm eating anything they give me. Like, this is a decision I am making before I apply. But that's not an allergy, dude.
No. Okay. Two things.
Yeah.
One, Jem, who found the Bewear idol, I think her name's Jem.
Oh,
found
my
the
God.
Bewear idol and then rehit it, and it's just letting her tribe
dig.
That's like the most insane thing I've ever seen. I kept asking Elliot because I didn't understand at first. I thought maybe she didn't accept the idol and she wanted someone else to find it. And I was like, what are the rules on someone finding it and not wanting it and then putting it back somewhere else? But then it was like, oh no, she is just letting them dig forever. Yes. This woman is
diabolical.
I was like, am so torn on this being amazing and the scariest thing I've seen.
Well, I know, because I was like, this is, I was like, I'm happy that someone's at least like doing something weird and like chopping it up. And Chip was just like, the island's too small. They're going to figure out what she did.
Well, some, like, yeah, they already said it.
I was like, I get it, and like whatnot. I go, but I think she's playing for the jury. So that like, let's say this breezes over, it's all good, whatever, and it gets down to her, and she can be like, well, all you people, remember when you were digging for that? I just wanted to watch you tire yourself out. And I feel like that's like kind of points of like, oh, she's scheming, even though it's not like a real move.
But also, yeah, I can see that. But also, wouldn't the flip side be that if someone found out, that it'd be like she's got the biggest target on her back now?
Oh, she fucked herself.
Yeah, but I kind of love
that she dug her own
grave
as she let them dig under a tree.
Her grave, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay, here's the second thing.
Okay.
I have a grievance. I am sick of these new era contestants trying to meme themselves in real time on this show.
Okay, what happened?
When that Yale kid jumped off of the platform in the challenge and screamed Taylor Swift, I was like, stop trying to meme yourself. I feel like people do these like ridiculous things and they're trying to make themselves memes on this show. We already got
him
listing
Christmas ham.
Yeah, exactly. Like people are trying, like you're already on the show. Cameras are on you. You're like, something's gonna, like, that's why I think I really enjoy Hunter, because he literally is just like does his job and doesn't like say anything, at least that we've seen. But that, I was like, dude, please, this is, speaking of cringe, so cringy.
I still really enjoy the rocker guy.
Yeah, he's really growing on me. When they came back to camp and the woman, the birth coach woman or whatever that you were obsessed with, the woman that gave birth to 6 kids with no medication.
Oh yeah, who fucked up on that ring challenge bad. And why was she taking so long in between attempts?
I think she was trying to like center herself so she wasn't panicking. I don't know. But when they were back at camp and the rocker guy was like, and she helped us get this, like he was trying to comfort her, I was like, and he's crying while she's saying, like, I have childhood issues of perfectionism and success is how my family, like,
oh, because I was like a Lebanese immigrant and all that jazz.
And he's just crying. God, he was, I at first was like, this guy's a bit much. And now I'm like, he's pretty great.
At this point, I'm ready for the merge.
Yeah, when does that happen?
I don't know how many it gets down to, but I'm just kind of like, I want to see them all interact.
That's everyone's like, we got to go back to a two-team system up top, and or if that doesn't happen, then do like they've done tribe swaps at this point, because one tribe has so many less players than
another
tribe.
Also, just give me some more idols. Why does everything have to be a Beware idol? Like, I need some classic idols up in this bitch, because here's the deal. And one of the reasons why I feel like people aren't making bigger moves yet, I mean, granted,
People are trying. People are trying to play Fast and Furious.
Well, we know with the fake idol of it all with Jess. But like, I feel like moves start to be made when someone's got the security of an idol in their pocket.
Yeah.
And like, I don't think anyone's rocking a real idol right now. It's just the Beware things.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But I did. I mean, like, it's also like they're on what, day 6 or something, or day 9?
Day 9,
and,
I think.
Like, I think someone said like 18, oh no, not 18, I don't know, 15 or something of the cast members haven't started playing the game, because they haven't been to tribal council. They haven't even gotten their fire yet.
That's
from
true.
The fire. So,
you know who I love?
Yeah.
Tevin.
I know, Tevin. That's what I was going to say. They're at camp doing so well and kumbayaing, but now Soda keeps talking strategy with everyone to the point that Tevin's like, I can't trust my number one now. So they're spiraling because they're not actually having tribal council.
Because all they've been talking about is alliances, but they haven't actually had to put any of their money where their mouth is.
Right. So now they're all second guessing each other.
So now you could be the most earnest like person of all time, but you give someone 8 days of being like, I'm your person, and you're like, all right, but I need that moment of drama to like see
it
or not.
Yeah,
so I really
all got
hope
blue balls.
I really hope next week, because that tribe Yanu is down to
three people:
the girl
Tiffany and Kenzie.
surely they're going to just break them up next week.
You would think, right?
I hope that's what it is.
I mean, and the funny part, like, Banu was a lot, and it was best, I think, for his own mental health to be out of the game. I mean, they didn't even vote. It was so, I did laugh.
I know.
When they were like, okay, so is that how everyone's voting? And then all at once, Q was like, that's my vote. And Tiffany was like, yes, I will be voting. Like, everyone's like, okay. And Jeff hugged him, which I don't know how many
because
players.
Because he's Jeff's guru, or Jeff is his guru.
That's right. That's right.
But I wondered too, just because Banu apparently, quote unquote, was such a super fan, where I'm like, were you disappointed you didn't get the experience of, and the blah, blah, blah person voted out? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Because
yeah,
it
true.
Was so unanimous, you actually didn't get to get the iconic kick out from the island.
Very true. I don't know. I don't know how much of a fan he I'm curious. But, you know, he's not there anymore, but he did leave a lasting legacy of telling the other tribes that these three people that are left on his team are troubles. So
and then
really
telling the team that he told them.
Yeah, exactly. He really fucked them over. That's insane. Which I love. That was maybe the best move I thought he played in the whole game.
Well, we will miss Flula lookalike.
Yes, 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 yes.
Actually,
we won't
miss him at all.
Yeah, it's okay. Everyone's like, see ya, get your check ready. Because you know she gifts someone at the end.
Oh, right. Money. Oh, right. Yeah. I forgot about that. Well, I think overall, a great week of television. Here's what I'll say is, like, we've got Bachelor finale. That's huge next week.
Oof, my gosh. Yeah.
Vanderpump Rules, once again, it exists.
Mm, yeah.
Stick around and watch the Valley. I'm telling you, it's a hot fucking mess. Then we've got Survivor. I'm hoping some real shit starts going down next week now that Banu isn't going to dominate.
Yeah, I think it will. I think we'll actually get to know the other players.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll see.
I'm excited. Woo! Okay. Well, you have to go get dinner with your step mom and dad.
Yes, I do. And you got to go fix your head.
That's going to take a while. Oh, I have no complaints. I've had no complaints. What's the joke? Okay.
How's your head?
No complaints, except for that it's been hurting for a week. This got real.
Yes.